Hope you have your Bibles or Testaments with you for another title or a subtitle for the message this morning could be the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians. It's just an overview of the references to the Holy Spirit in the letter to Ephesus. I'd like to read a portion of the fifth chapter that we did not read responsively this morning. I'd like to read chapter 5, verses 8 through 21. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As is our custom, Father, and yet not just out of habit, we pause before we preach and ask that the Holy Spirit would make the word speak to our hearts this morning. Use your servant, or speak in spite of him, but we pray that everybody here this morning will hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says in verse 8, You used to be darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He has tremendous confidence. What a wonderful statement that he makes to the Christians at Ephesus. What is darker than a Christless, empty life without faith? And what is more light than to have Jesus as Savior and Lord? As Paul says, you used to be darkness, but I have confidence in you that you are light in the Lord. But then he immediately follows this statement, this testimonial, with the exhortation, walk then as children of light. And then comes an exhortation, and the climax of that exhortation is the familiar text, Ephesians 5:18, that we've all heard preached on many times. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but and the great word, be filled with the Spirit. It's a classic holiness text. It's a classic text on the Spirit. Paul says, don't seek to escape life. That is, don't be drunk with wine. But seek to encounter life in the Spirit. And I would look at this classic text this morning every time I've ever preached on it before or ever heard it preached, and it stands by itself very well, and we haven't rested what it says and what it means. But I just got the idea this week to look at the context, what it means to be filled with the Spirit, by looking at the rest of the Ephesian letter. What was Paul talking about when he said, be filled with the Spirit? And it's amazing how the rest of the book of Ephesians gives light to this great text, be filled with the Spirit. It explains what Paul is trying to tell us to do. And so just briefly, I would like to see like you to see with me, like you to look at your Bibles, keep them open, and we'll see what it means to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means to be filled with promise. For the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of hope. We talked about it, illuminated this, and expanded it Wednesday night in our Bible study at 7 o'clock. We read in verse 18 of chapter 1, "The eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." And we speak here, the Holy Spirit here is the Spirit of promise. Also in chapter 4, verse 30, where it's spoken of as the seal of redemption. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of hope in that he gives us reason to go on. His presence is promise and is a promise. It's a promise that he'll never leave us. It is promise that we shall fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. It's a seal. That is, if we don't tamper with it, if we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is the context of 4:30, we have assurance that we shall stand in his presence. And to be filled with the Spirit of God is to be filled with hope. And we do not despair. I wish you could have been there Wednesday night and heard as we put our heads together and talked about the power of hope. Dr. Alvin Kaufman came up with a rather modern rendering of the function of the Holy Spirit when he said that he was in a crowded airport and there were a lot more people to get on the airplane than there were spaces available on the airplane. And he felt so relieved when the attendant handed him his boarding pass. And he said, that's a modern illustration. The Holy Spirit is our boarding pass. He's our assurance that when the plane leaves, we not only have a ticket, but we have a boarding pass. We will have a space available. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of promise. I have 6 of these things, and if I take too long on each of them, maybe a late dinner today, Mom. So I'll hurry along. Let it get you started on these. To be filled with the Spirit means to be filled with the Spirit of access. In the second chapter of Ephesians, there are references to the Holy Spirit. The 18th verse, through him, that is through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And then verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is a beautiful thought, if I can just share it with you briefly this morning. That the Spirit of God is that person of the Godhead that gives man access to God. He brings the riches of grace to us. He brings Christ to us. He opens to us salvation, and we can enjoy God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But also the Holy Spirit is that ministration whereby God has access to us. And God wants to come to us even as he wants us to come to him. And so the Spirit, as you see in verse 22, makes us an habitation for the Spirit of God to live in us so that he can do Christ's work here in the world. I don't know if I'm getting that across to you, how it excites me. But I see that when we catch this aspect of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just some experience that we enjoy, some ecstatic, wonderful pleasure that we say, well, praise God, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. But it's that God has access to us so that Jesus Christ can carry on his great and tremendous work here on earth. There's a sense in which we don't have to strive harder. We just have to give him access to us and then follow in an obedience. And he has access to us by the Spirit. I think I could develop this into six sermons. I had to hurry along here. The Spirit of God is also the Spirit of strength within. In the third chapter, verse 16, Paul is praying, and he said that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. When we are filled with the Spirit within becomes that which is strong within us. Oh, we're not strong in ourselves. But to let the Spirit of God fill us, it makes us so that we will not implode under the pressures that all of us face. Then he goes on to expand this thought in the next three verses. This strength within is Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. This Spirit of strength within, verse 18, is a comprehending. It is insight. We only grow as we get insights, as the Holy Spirit says, that's what that means. That's why I prayed this morning in the pastoral prayer that in your devotions this week, you'll have at least one of those moments when the Word of God comes alive and you say, ah, that's where we grow. And that's what He's promised, that when the Spirit dwells within, we will be able to comprehend. And the book of Ephesians speaks about the mystery of the gospel. Turn back to verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1. Paul speaks about the fact that God wants to make known unto us the mystery of His will. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. And this mystery of faith is that we begin to see that Jesus is the center of all truth, and that in all things are gathered into Him. Truth makes sense only in Christ. It's what C.S. Lewis called, excuse us Nazarenes, but he called it the dance, capital T, capital D. And it's not a light thing, but the fact that things finally make sense in God, and that we can be a part of, do I dare say it again, the dance? We all have a part of this plan of God, insight. And then finally He speaks to us of the inner strength of love, that we may know the love of Christ, experiencing Christ's love. We are loved, we are appreciated. I passed over one thing going so fast on this idea of access, by the way. I just want to share it with you. I hardly ever back up. My wife can attest to that when I'm driving. I'd rather drive 3 miles and get lost than to back up and go over. But this idea of being possessed of the Spirit, of God having access to us, is double. It's personal in each of us individually. When God possesses us, we are stamped with Christ's image. We become more and more Christ-like, and that's exciting. But there's a sense in which all of us together become the habitation of God. There's a corporate filling of the Holy Spirit. And oh, that's what I'm so anxious to see. I believe it's what God is trying to do in New England to the body of Christ, the church. I really do. There's a moving of the Spirit. Revival is coming. But also He can do it to Wollaston Church. He can do it to the individual congregations, the bodies of believers. And let's get our spiritual antennae up and be open and expect God to move. And let's just expect Pentecost to come. I was praying this morning, Lord, let Pentecost come this morning. The Spirit is the Spirit of access. Well, I'll jump back over strength within. The next two kind of go together, but I've separated them in my own thought. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of unity. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 3. Endeavoring, evidently there has to be some work at this, but endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. The Spirit indwelling is unity. Where there's genuine spiritual life, it responds to genuine spiritual life. It has to be endeavored. That's not a very good verb, I guess. But we have to endeavor to keep it. Verse 3. But it is genuine. Mergers of dead institutions can't prop up corpses and make a living army. But I want to tell you, the fullness of the Spirit brings openness, a willingness to risk. It brings trusting in power. It brings the reality of unity. And whether you like it or not, if you belong to the Spirit of God and He has access to you, you're already brothers and sisters with a lot of people you don't know already. But the Spirit is bringing us together. We are together. The Spirit of unity. And then part of this unity, the first 12 verses of chapter 4 are kind of formal and speak to the function of the church and the order of the church. But then as the last part of chapter 4 begins, exceedingly practical. And the Spirit of unity is also the Spirit of kindness and love. And reading down there toward the end of the chapter, grieve not the Spirit whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. Be kind one to another. We grieve the Spirit when we're less than what Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be. And we manifest Christ when the Spirit indwells and enables us to truly forgive as we are forgiven and to love one another. Isn't this overview exciting about what it means to be filled with the Spirit? Wow. And then finally in chapter 5, he's still being practical. The Spirit indwelling is the Spirit of effectiveness in the Word and in prayer. Verses 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God becomes a sword when the Spirit is in it. And it's not just dull. You know, I used to read that way when I was a baby Christian. And I was told, read a chapter a day or the devil will get you. And many a time I looked through until I found Psalm 117 just to keep the devil off my back. But when the Spirit got a hold of me, then the Bible became a sword. And then the next verse, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What a difference it makes when you pray in the Spirit. The Spirit makes prayer effective. Praying in the Spirit means Spirit-inspired love. When you feel a love for somebody sweep over you as you think of them, oh, brother so-and-so is going through a hard time right now. My heart goes out to him. That's the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let that love turn into faith. Get on your knees and say, oh, God, bless brother so-and-so, and he'll feel it. Spirit-inspired burden means answered prayer. My time is going, but let me just give you a little exhortation this morning. All of these things, promise, access of us to God and God to us, strength within, unity, kindness and love, effectiveness in word, effectiveness in prayer, all of these things are involved in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. Is it any wonder that Paul is insistent when he says, you used to be darkness, now you're light. For heaven's sake, walk as children of light. I insist. I put it in the imperative. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't accept any lesser standard. If I understand his exhortation here in chapter 5, we need to be children of light to be filled. That's plain. Ye are now children of light. We have to be willing to have no fellowship with works of darkness. Do you see it there in chapter or verse 11? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's a shame even to speak of those things. We have to be willing to separate ourselves. Look at verse 14. He saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Christ shall give. We have to wake up to the spiritual reality of the need for fullness. We need to consecrate and believe and be filled. This isn't that aorist tense, by the way, that Nazarene scholars love, that means, you know, one Christic time. This means a present continuum. Being filled. Let it continue. All praise the Lord for the crisis, and I'm preaching it this morning, and I believe in it. But he's saying, let's do all this, but let's continue to be being filled. Hear Paul's message this morning from God. Light has already shined in your hearts. You're even now light from God. So walk as children of light and be filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for this beautiful letter to the church at Ephesus. Somehow we feel it's to the church at Wollaston too. I pray for my own soul this morning that I may be being filled with the Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.